The following audio is from the Lifeway Church. For more information about the Lifeway, please visit our website at www.thelifeway.org.
Well, today we are launching a brand new series entitled Love Like Jesus. And so what we're going to be doing in this series is we're going to be taking a look at three of the specific ways, and there are many ways that Jesus loved people, but in this series we're going to look at three specific ways that Jesus loved. As followers of Jesus Christ, we're not just called to receive the love of Jesus, but we're called to show love to others. And so today we're going to look at how Jesus forgave sinners and why it's important for us to do the same. We're not only sinners who received or receive forgiveness, but we're called by Jesus to forgive others. One day a woman was lonely, and so she bought a parrot for a pet, and all this parrot did once she got it home was treated her bad. It insulted her, and every time she tried to pick it up, this parrot would peck at its arm. And one day she reached her breaking point as the parrot kept hurling insults, saying things like, you know, you're ugly, you know, and I can't stand you, and things like that. So she grabs this parrot, and when she grabs the parrot, it starts pecking on her arm. And so, not knowing what to do, she goes to the kitchen, she opens the freezer door, and she throws him in and slams the door. From inside, the parrot was still going on, just yelling at her and just hurling these insults. And you know, of course, it's muffled now. And then after about 3 or 4 minutes, it got really quiet. And immediately this woman felt bad, and she thought, oh no, I killed him. I killed him. And so she was kind of afraid, but she slowly grabbed the freezer door and started looking in, and to her relief, the parrot was still alive. She picked it up, and the parrot said, you know, I'm very sorry. I apologize for my bad behavior, and I promise you that I will never speak to you that way again. Okay, the woman said, apology accepted. I forgive you. After a few moments, the parrot replied, you know, well, thank you. And then he said, can I ask you something? And the woman replied, of course, what? And the parrot looked at the freezer and said, what did the chicken do? Earlier in our ministry, I remember a situation where an individual had gotten upset at us and really rose up against us. And although this wasn't his name, for the sake of their anonymity and this message, I'm gonna call him William. William had been a part of our team. We had taken his family out to eat. We had served together, we had worked together, we had laughed together, and out of nowhere, everything seemed to fall apart. So I asked him to meet with me, and I was trying to figure out what was going on, and I remember sitting across the table from him and from William, and as he was talking, I had this, I don't know if you ever had an experience like this, where I just had this sinking feeling where I knew that this situation wasn't going to end well. And the longer we talked, he was upset. And when he realized that he wasn't going to be able to twist my arm to get his way, he hurt us as deeply as he possibly could. I pleaded with him as I was sitting across the table to consider his actions and the effects that his actions would have on the lives of the people that were around him. And he wouldn't hear anything I had to say. And in the days and in the weeks to come, he did some incredibly awful things. William completely, he lied about us. He wrote so many untruths that I would probably have a legitimate chance to win a libel claim against him. This hurt me so deeply. This person that I had worked with, this person that I had trusted, not only stabbed me in the back, but he seemed to be content to twist the knife when it was in. And if I'm being totally transparent with you this morning, I was so angry. I was so hurt. I prayed that God would give him what he deserved. And I'm not proud of this morning, but I allowed my mind to wander, imagining how God was going to pay William back for what he did. I hoped that he would lose his job. I hoped that he would lose his home and that he would lose his ministry. And those were the good things that I prayed would happen to him. The rest I'm too embarrassed to even admit this morning. How dare this man do this? I wanted vengeance. Matthew 6, verses 14, it says, "If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins." There was nothing inside of me that ever wanted to forgive William for what he had done. How can you forgive someone who does something that is absolutely unforgivable? And so this morning we're going to look at Luke 23 and we're going to see the most overwhelming display of forgiveness that anyone can possibly imagine. Jesus is hanging on the cross. He was completely innocent. He had never done anything wrong. He had never sinned. Jesus was perfect in every way, hanging between two evil men. Verse 32, it says this, "Two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him. When they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross. And the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left." Now, as we read through this story and as we hear about this story, a lot of times I think that we don't really have a full understanding of what truly happened at Calvary. Many of the television shows or the movies about the crucifixion that we've seen over the years don't truly depict what Jesus went through. Listen to what the prophet said in Isaiah 52:14 about how Jesus would suffer. It says, "But many were amazed when they saw him." This is talking about Jesus. "His face was so disfigured, he seemed hardly human. And from his appearance, one would scarcely know that he was a man." Jesus was brutally beaten. The cross was designed to torture and to bring extreme humiliation. It was actually an expensive way to execute someone. And so this punishment of crucifixion was typically reserved for the worst of the worst. And what they would do is they would take these stakes and they would drive the stakes through their wrists and through their feet. And then they would set this cross up and they would hang there. And in order to breathe, they would have to push up on this nail that's through their feet. And then they would put that pressure and that excruciating pain would shoot through their entire body. If that wasn't bad enough, people would walk past and people walked past Jesus and they would spit on him. And they would scream at him and they would mock him. Even one of the criminals got into the action of belittling Jesus and said, "You saved yourself, why don't you, or you saved others, why don't you save yourself? Hail, King of the Jews." Just imagine for a moment, creation mocking the Creator. And at that very moment, Jesus prays. As these people are in his face, doing their worst to the one who is actually giving his life for their sins, this is what he says, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." Jesus was asking for forgiveness while they were sinning against him. In that same moment, forgiving something that was totally and completely unforgivable. This morning, I want to tell you that if you live long enough, you're going to be hurt by somebody. In fact, I'm confident that there are probably numerous people here right now that you are carrying a significant wound. Someone abused you. Someone took advantage of you. Someone lied to you. Somebody cheated on you. Someone hurt your child or your mother or your brother or your sister or someone that you love. Someone who is supposed to be a Christian didn't act very Christ-like to you. Some church that maybe you were a part of did something that broke your heart and devastated you. Someone gossiped about you and said things that weren't true and destroyed your reputation. Maybe a boss didn't appreciate you and you ended up losing your job and it was completely unjustified and unfair. Still others here, maybe it was your mom or your dad. They weren't there for you. They abused you. They abandoned you. They let you be. For others, it may not be something big, but it's that, you know, that ongoing person, that person that every time you're around them, it's like fingernails on a chalkboard. No matter what you do with these kind of people, it's never good enough, and they just seem to make you crazy. And there are others here that your struggle is yourself. You did something that you can't believe you did. And you can't go back and undo what you've done, and you're carrying unforgiveness even towards yourself. You may know that God has forgiven you, but you're unwilling or you're unable to actually forgive yourself for what you've done. What's crazy is there are some of you that you were hurt by someone who's no longer even alive. And yet you're carrying the weight and the bitterness against someone who isn't even here anymore. And so that raises this big question that I want us to address as we learn to love like Jesus loved us, is how do we forgive like Jesus? You see, forgiveness is really at the heart of the gospel. Jesus came, his purpose was to seek and save that which was lost. He came to be the ultimate sacrifice to forgive sinners. And as we are forgiven as followers of Jesus, he calls us to forgive one another. In fact, Jesus said there would be one distinguishing factor of his followers in John 13, 35. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. He didn't say how often you take communion. He didn't say it's not how loud you sing in church or how high you raise your hands in worship or not even the church that you attend, but your love for one another. And so I want to ask you this morning, how is your love meter today? And so I want to give you two simple, but they're definitely not easy, but they're actually two simple ways that we can forgive like Jesus. The first, if you're taking notes and following along with us in your sermon outline, is that Jesus actually teaches us to pray for those who hurt you. Pray for those who hurt you. That's what Jesus was doing on the cross. In Luke 6:28, Jesus said, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. And some of you are probably a lot like I was. All right, I'll pray for them. I'll pray that their teeth fall out, right? I'll pray that they get run over by a tractor trailer, right? I'll pray that they get theirs, right? I pray that they'll suffer. And when Jesus made this statement, it was actually a shocking statement to his audience. His audience had never heard anything like this. In fact, for their entire lives, they had been taught the exact opposite of what Jesus had just said. In Matthew 5:43, it says, Jesus speaking again, you have heard the law that says. In other words, you've been taught this your whole life. Everybody in the crowd knew this. You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. This was a drop the mic moment. Like, boom, just dropped it. Like, when he dropped that, it was over. Why? Because when he said that, people were thinking, did he say what I thought I just heard him say? Why? Because the Roman audience, the Romans that would have been in the crowd, worshiped the God of revenge. And the Jewish audience had always been taught from the beginning of the law, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a life for a life. When someone else wrongs you, you get them back. They take something from you, you take something from them. They break a bone of yours, you break a bone of theirs. And Jesus says, time out. Wait a minute. Some things need to change in your lives. Pray for those who persecute you and love your enemies. Now let me make it real clear here this morning. Love those who have a different political view. Love those who have a different cultural background. We are to love our enemies. And to be honest this morning, this statement doesn't seem hard until you have an enemy. You know, until someone abuses someone you love or lies about your wife or lies about you. It's easy to love your enemies when you don't have one. But if someone wrongs me, all of a sudden something rises up inside of us and we don't want to love those that have hurt us. And here's what I hope that you'll see this morning. If you've been devastated by someone, let down by someone, lied about, gossiped about, the first place that we need to start is to pray for them. We don't pray that something bad would happen to them, but we start to pray for them. And why did Jesus teach this? Why was he making a shift here? I believe it was because a right attitude precedes proper actions. A right attitude precedes proper action. When I'm overwhelmed with bitterness in my heart towards someone, it is impossible for me to do the right things. But if I will begin to pray for someone, what happens is my attitude slowly begins to change. And a right attitude will eventually lead you to making proper decisions and proper actions. If you're waiting to feel like forgiving someone who did something wrong to you, you're going to be waiting an awful long time. If you're just waiting to forgive someone to be in the mood, can I tell you this morning, you will never be in the mood. The key to starting the forgiveness process is by doing something that is right in our minds. And when we pray, when we begin to pray, something happens and it actually begins to renew, it begins to change our minds. And eventually this transformation leads us to right attitudes and ultimately the right actions. And this is quite honestly, with the help of God, what I started to do for William, the man that I wanted to see suffer. I'll never forget the morning that I was having my devotion time and I was talking to the Lord and I was having a good old time and then God just laid the boom on me. You know, has he ever done that when he lays it on your heart and God impressed, he said, you need to pray for William. And I was like, wait, what? No, I'm not praying for William. No, you need to pray for William. And I didn't listen the first day. The next time I got up to pray and I began to talk to God, God said, you need to pray for William. And I didn't want to do it, but God just kept nudging me. And over the next several weeks, I prayed. And I let me tell you this morning, it wasn't easy. When you have to start praying for someone that you despise, when you start praying for your enemies and those who persecute you, it was not an easy thing to pray blessing over him and that God would protect him and that God would keep him. But here's what I can promise you is that when you begin to pray, your prayer may or may not change others, but it will always change you. Your prayer for others may or may not change them, but it will always change you. And that's what I experienced in my life. I, as far as I know, nothing ever happened to William. But what did begin to happen in my life is that the anger began to melt away. And so how do you love like Jesus? You pray for those who have hurt and wronged you. Number two, we learn this principle. How do we love like Jesus? We need to learn to forgive as we have been forgiven. This is what is so important. We need to forgive in the same manner that God has forgiven us. In Colossians 3:13, Paul said, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. I don't know about you this morning, but God has forgiven me of many things. I don't know what your story is. I don't know what you've done, how many lies you've told, how many people you've hurt, how many times you've lied to yourself, how often you've disobeyed and sinned against God. I can't speak for you, but I can tell you right now that I'm standing up here. I have been forgiven of a lot. And I am to forgive others in the same manner that God has forgiven me. If He's forgiven me freely, I am to forgive others freely. There may be someone here where perhaps in your marriage things are difficult. Things are rocky. You've been betrayed. Perhaps you might even be here this morning and you have grounds for divorce. Your spouse maybe cheated on you. And I want to acknowledge that this is heartbreaking and it's devastating. And yes, you may have grounds for divorce, but guess what else you have grounds for? You also have grounds for forgiveness. And so I want to encourage anybody here that might be struggling in that area. There could be a marriage that's just barely hanging on right now, but with the help of God, He may empower you to do something that you could not do on your own. You see, in our fleshly nature, we typically do not have what it takes to forgive. But by the power of the Holy Spirit in us, we can learn to forgive as we have been forgiven. And if you do that, who knows what could happen? God could save someone's marriage if somebody would make the choice to forgive. So how do we forgive the unforgivable? How do we forgive as we have been forgiven? Can I tell you, it all boils down for each and every one of us in this room. We have a choice, two choices that we can make. The first choice is, I want to forgive. I may not be quite there yet, but I'm going to choose what God's word says, and I'm going to work towards forgiveness. The other choice that we all face is I don't want to forgive. What they did was so wrong. I'm not going to do it. I will not forgive. I will be bitter the rest of my life. Let's just walk down that road for a moment. Choose to be bitter all you want. And any time I see that person, right? We've all probably done this. We're mad. We're upset at someone. And any time that we see that person, what do? We give them the cold shoulder. Or when we run into them at the holidays, you know, well, I'm going to be mad. And it ruins our entire day or our entire evening. And we're miserable the entire time. We get upset at someone. And every time we think about them, we can't sleep at night. And we toss and turn in our bed. And it's 3 a.m. And we're tired, but we still can't sleep because this anger has a hold on us. Our blood pressure actually starts to rise and our health starts to get affected. And many times the people that we're mad at don't even know that we're mad. But I'm going to be bitter. I'm going to be the best bitter person around. I'm going to be filled with hateful thoughts and I'm not going to forgive. I want to claw their eyes out. I want them to suffer in hell. I'm just going to let all of this stuff fester up inside of me. Anne Lamott said it like this. She said, bitterness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. Is that your game plan this morning? Is that how you want to live your life? So what do you do? What do you do when you've been hurt? Well, you start praying and you just take it to God and just be honest with Him. God, I don't want to do this. God, I don't want to forgive William for what he did to me. It's not right what they did, and you just tell him all about it. Then one day you wake up and you play the Frozen CD and you just let it go. You let it go. Let it go. Somebody needs to let it go, right? Come on, somebody can clap for your kids. They're all jealous. Sorry, I couldn't resist that. I hate that song, but it just fit, right? You just do it. You make a conscious decision. You know what? By faith, I'm choosing. I may not feel it yet, but I'm going to start saying, I'm going to let this go. I'm going to let go of what they said. I'm going to let go of what they did. I'm going to let go of the hurt. I'm going to let go of the bitterness. I'm just going to let it go. In the same way that God let my sins go. I remember the day and the moment that I said, God, I'm sorry, forgive me. And Scripture says that when we do that, He forgives our sins and He lets it go. We need to do the same thing and choose by faith to let it go. I refuse to walk around in bondage due to unforgiveness and bitterness in my heart. I don't know who today is carrying an offense. Maybe it's something like my situation with William. It could be something even more significant, where someone has done something so egregious that they should be in jail right now. Know this morning that if you are a follower of Jesus, He has called you to a higher standard. You see, this world teaches us to lash out, to seek vengeance. But Jesus said, no. We're actually going to do some things differently. Listen to what He said in Luke 6:32. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. We are to pray for those who persecute us. We love our enemies and we forgive as we have been forgiven, because that is what Jesus has called us to do. He wants us to live an abundant and healthy life. Some people are so angry. They're so hurt. They're so broken that unforgiveness is literally killing them from the inside out. They are dying from the inside out. Ulcers and high blood pressure and stress and heart issues. Listen, Jesus never intended for you and I to live that way. John 10:10, it says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. It's one of the ways the enemy is going to destroy you. In fact, when I teach this in our growth track, but as you have a deep relationship with Jesus Christ and you're praying and you're growing and everything's great, if He can't get you to stop praying and if the enemy can't get you to stop reading His word, one of the things He's going to do is He's going to have a brother or sister in some offense come up and drive you apart that way. Why? Because unforgiveness will destroy you. But Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Jesus came so that we could live a rich and satisfying life. Yet there are so many people around who don't experience it because of our unwillingness to let some things go and forgive. There was once a poor orphan who wanted nothing more in the world than to belong to a family. Finally, his opportunity came. He was 8 years old, and a family decided to adopt him. Introductions were made, papers were signed, and just after his 8th birthday, he left for his new home. He took with him his hope and his possessions, the few that he had, the old worn and tattered clothes that he was wearing, and a single soft toy. His new parents were excited to have him, and they did everything that they could to make him feel like a part of the family. A special celebration dinner was held, and he was given his own room, and he was introduced to the other kids that lived on the block. His new parents took those old clothes, they threw them away, and they brought him beautiful new ones. They bought him a bike and more toys. And pretty soon, this little boy began to feel just like all the other kids in the neighborhood. One thing, however, was curious. The young boy's old shoes, the ones with the big holes in them that were all tattered and worn out, they weren't thrown out like the rest of his old clothes. His new father placed them on the mantelpiece. And it wasn't long before the new adopted son found out why. Every time that boy did something wrong, his father would go and get those shoes and say, "Look at all we've done for you. We took you in when you had nothing, but look at how you've behaved." Unfortunately, all too often, we do the same thing in our relationships. We dredge up the past and we throw it back in someone else's face, never letting them forget how much they're in our debt. Can I tell you this morning that forgiveness means throwing out the shoes as well as the clothes? And I encourage someone here this morning to refuse to dredge up the past and make it a reason for action in the present. Let it go this morning. I want to ask those of you that are here this morning who maybe you're carrying a hurt. Maybe you've carried it for a long time, but you've got this wound. Somebody broke your heart. Somebody did something to you. Someone did something to someone that you care about, and you've carried that offense. But today you want to start new. You want to start seeking God and asking Him to help you forgive and let it go today. If that's you this morning, I wonder if there's anybody who'd be brave enough to be honest and raise your hand today because I want to pray for you in just a few minutes. Is there anybody here who needs to let something go? There's hands all over this place. Thank you. You can put your hands down. I believe that today can be the beginning of healing for you. I'm going to pray for you guys in just a few minutes. As we close this morning, though, some of you are also carrying a very real weight and a very real guilt in your life. You've done something. You've hurt people. You lied about something. You were dishonest. And whatever it was, you feel so guilty. Some think, well, how could God ever love someone as messed up as I am? Maybe even at some point you prayed for forgiveness, but you didn't really know if you were forgiven and you didn't feel it because you couldn't forgive yourself. So listen, can I tell you this morning that the good news today is that you are not here by accident. You are here because God invited you and God wants to show His love and He wants to settle this issue for you once and for all. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, he took on sin for you and me, and he died and he was rose again and he rose again and when you repent and when you call on him, your sins are forgiven. He'll remember them no more. If you confess your sins to God, he is faithful and just, the scripture says, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I believe for some of you that's exactly why you're here this morning. It's time to let it go. It's time to forgive yourself. It's time to call on Him. It's time to be transformed. And I have great news this morning, is that you will not become a better version of you. You will become new. The scripture says that the old life is gone and everything becomes new. And that's why I believe that God has brought some of you here this morning to say this prayer. Jesus, I need your forgiveness. Jesus, today I make a step to give my life to you. Would you save me? I surrender completely to you. I wonder if we could all bow our heads and close our eyes. No one looking around. I don't want to embarrass anyone this morning. I'm not going to have you walk down here to the front. But if that's your prayer today, if your prayer is to be made brand new, maybe for the first time, make a decision to follow Jesus. For others that are here, maybe it's time for you to recommit and let some things go and be healed and set free by the Spirit today. Would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you? Thank you. There's hands here in the front, hands here on the right. This is the best decision that you could ever make. God sees your situation. He knows exactly where you're at. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Let's all stand up together here this morning. In just a moment, we're going to pray together. And so as you're standing, I know I say this every week, but it's so important that we do this. I challenge every person to ask this question: God, what are you trying to speak to me about this morning? What situation in my life are you trying to deal with me about letting the past go? After we're finished praying, we're gonna sing a song and we're gonna spend some time talking to the Lord. In fact, I've got some leaders are gonna be down here in the front to pray with you, and they're up here if you need prayer in any area of your life. Maybe you need some additional support in some area. Maybe you need a physical healing. Whatever it is, that they'll be down here to pray with you. And so once we start singing, just step down into the aisles. But I would like us all to lift our voice together and just talk to God. Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would forgive me of my sin.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you've been encouraged by it. If you'd like more information about The Lifeway, please visit thelifeway.org.